Our lesson today is concerning the male factor being saved, and likewise that Jesus buried in the place put by Joseph of Arimathea. We left off speaking to you last week about the first words that Jesus spake while they were nailing him to the cross. He prayed and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So this prayer was answered, I said, possibly on the day of Pentecost, and probably when 5,000 were added to the church after Christ had ascended up into heaven. How wonderful that the prayers of Christ are answered. This prayer likewise is still being answered to every one that is given to be born again, for they are brought by the Spirit to see that it was their sins that crucified Christ, that nailed him to the cursed tree, and that he prayed already at that time for them. And we finally also come to the words that Christ spake secondly on the cross. And what were they? Well, they were the words that he spake unto his mother and unto John. For there stood then by the cross of Christ three Marys: Mary, the mother of Christ; Mary, the sister of Jesus' mother, married to Cleopas; and Mary Magdalene. Three God-fearing women, three women who were blessed with the grace in their very souls, who loved this precious Christ. They were standing afar off, watching the proceedings when he was nailed to the accursed tree. And this woman, Mary, the mother of Jesus, how this must have affected her. It affected them all, but especially Mary, as she had brought him into this world. In a wonderful way, she had been conceived by the Holy Ghost and was given to bring forth Jesus. As this had been prophesied of by the prophet Isaiah, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." She was the virgin. She was the woman chosen by God. She was gifted to do this glorious thing and bring forth this precious Savior into this world. And she likewise was standing by the cross looking upon him. For this was her son. Oh, if you are a mother and you have a son, and he was to be hung upon a cross because he had committed some crime, and you were standing nearby, I'm sure you would be deeply affected by it. And how much more than this mother, who knew that he had never sinned, that he had never done anything wrong. She practically knew that he was the Savior, that he was the Messiah. He was her Savior. He was her Messiah. He was her son. She seen him hanging on the cross. He was bleeding. She couldn't go to him to wipe the blood off his face. No. He was naked. She couldn't go to him to put clothes upon him. Oh, how she must have suffered inwardly with so much sorrow and so much grief. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he was likewise suffering on the cross. And in the midst of his suffering, he turned and looked at his mother. And he said unto her, "Woman, behold thy son." And he said unto John, his beloved apostle, "Son, behold thy mother." He did not say mother to her. He did not say woman out of disrespect, no. If he had said probably mother, it would have went right through her. You could imagine that, how it must have affected her. Surely, Simeon's words were being fulfilled in her respect. He had said to her, "A sword shall go through thy own heart." And at this time, we may see the sword going through her own heart, seeing her son hanging between heaven and earth. Oh, what deep affection she had for Jesus, because he was her son, because he was her Savior, her Redeemer. All these three women, they, with this Apostle John, were the only ones that were there that really were attached to him. Others that we know not of. All the disciples had left him, they had fled. And here he saw his mother standing there, and he spoke to her in this way. He commended her to John. History says that she went with John, the Bible says, and he took her that very hour to his own home. She lived with her, this Apostle John, it says, 11 years in Jerusalem, and then she died. Another commentary says that she went from Jerusalem with John to Ephesus, where he was the preacher in the church, and from which church he was taken and put on the Isle of Patmos. This Mary then, as she was taken care of by Jesus from the cross. This has a lesson to us. Have you still parents, some of you that are amongst me? Or remember your parents. God has given us a law. Remember thy father and thy mother. Remember them, especially when they get old, especially when they fall into sickness, into weakness, especially when they get poor. Then you are to remember your parents, how they have taken care of you, how they have reared you up, and how they have done their duty towards you. How many children play a disrespect to their parents, even in the times in which we live. As soon as they are old enough and able enough to support themselves, they like to get away from the parental authority. They move out, they take an apartment, they live alone. What do you think this is? Is that respect to your parents in doing that? I don't think so. It's showing a disrespect to them. It's disregarding the law and the commandment of God. Children amongst me who still have parents who are still single, listen to what I am saying. I'm speaking for your welfare, for the good of your soul, and for the good of your life. For when you are alone and you are open to every temptation that is in this world, and you have no parents to speak to you and to warn you, how sad it is. How many fall in many sins and likewise come even under the laws of the country and are guilty of some crime and are put into prison. Oh, obey your parents in the Lord and it will go well with thee, the Bible says. Jesus took care of his mother. He gives us an example. And so we who have parents, we should likewise remember them. Jesus then was hanging on the cross and he was being reviled. Oh, there never was a scene like this upon the earth, and there never will be another scene like this. An innocent man hanging between heaven and earth upon a cross, and the bystanders reviling him, speaking against him, ridiculing him, saying unto him, if thou be the Son of God, come off the cross, and we will believe thee. Others said he saved others, but himself he cannot save. Such terrible denunciations they were making against the truth, because he was the Son of God. And this is what they were reviling him for. This is what they hung him up on the cross for, because he had confessed that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, how many walked by and looked at him and wagged their heads and shook their heads at him because he was hanging there. They reviled the Son of God. He then suffered tremendously in this way because there was no one there that spoke one word of comfort to him. Not one person had any pity, any compassion for him. Has it ever happened in this world? Even no matter how great of a crime a person has done, if they see this person hanging before them, I'm sure they feel sorry, they have some pity for him. But to Christ there was no pity, there was no sorrow shown. Oh, my dear hearers, what is mankind left over into the hands of Satan? So it went with Christ. He had to bear this this ridicule, this slander, this mockery, and that because we deserve the same. And he bore it for his dear children. He bore their curse. He bore what we really should experience because of our sins. And as he was hanging there, my hearers, there came likewise another word from his lips, a most blessed word. And we find there were two malefactors crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Two of the commentaries and two of the writers of the Bible, two of the gospel men, they say, and both of them reviled him and cast the shame into his teeth. They were both then guilty in this respect, according to Matthew and according to Mark. But we find in the Gospel of Luke that when this was going on, one of the malefactors, he was wrought upon by the Spirit of God. These men were hanging there for the crime that they had committed. They had lived probably all their lives sinning and doing things that were wrong, and they had probably committed a capital crime, and for this crime they were hung upon the cross. And therefore they were to die for the crime that they had committed. How awful, my hearers. I hope none of our young people may commit any crimes like this and be brought before a jury and be sentenced in our times to life imprisonment. But they don't have the capital punishment today anymore. But here it was, a crude way, an awful way for a person to suffer death. And still these men, they were hung upon this cross. And here we find that one of them was brought to the knowledge of himself and to the knowledge of his sinnership. For when this here one reviled him and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, save thyself and us, then this other one spoke unto him and said unto him, dost thou not see that we are both in the same condemnation and that we suffer justly? This man hath done nothing amiss. Take particular notice of what he says, my hearers. Oh, this man being wrought upon by the Spirit of God, he begins to warn his companions. If the Spirit of God comes into your soul and convicts you of your sins and of your iniquities, it'll also change your language. You'll come out with something different. Or you will speak to your companions in sin. You will warn them in love that they may not go on any longer in sin. So this man on the cross, he spake to his companions. They had lived together. They had enjoyed the pleasures of this world. They had sinned tremendously. But now, in this critical moment, they were both going to die for the crime. And now this one, he had no feeling, no realization of going to God and have to answer for his crime. All he thought about was to get off the cross and to go back into his crimes again. He was of the world, this one. He likewise reviled Christ. Oh, he thought if Christ was the Son of God and would deliver them, then he would be free again. He would be able to do everything that he had done before. So, my dear hearers, if we are of the world and if we are like this thief on the cross, this thief, he likewise died in his sins and he was lost forever. And if we continue in serving sin and doing as the world does, then we will perish with the world. For the love of the Father is not in them. Oh, my dear hearers, this man on the cross, reviling Christ, was warned. He was spoken to. Have you ever been spoken to? Oh, he said unto his partner in crime, and we justly, because we received the due rewards of our deeds. Oh, he then admitted that if God punished him and cast him away, it was just, it was righteous, it was holy of God to do that. And therefore he tried to bring to this man the realization thereof. Dost thou not fear God, he says. Oh, my hearers, if the fear of God comes into your soul, if the fear of God causes you to depart from evil, And it causes you likewise to warn others not to go on in evil. So this man showed signs of repentance already by warning his companion in this way, speaking unto him. And he spoke gloriously of Christ. He testified that this man hath done nothing amiss in the front of all these people that were reviling him and criticizing him and speaking against him. This man spoke up and said he hath done nothing amiss. How did he know that? Oh, he's seen it on his countenance. He's seen it also in the way that he treated those men that were crucifying him. He prayed for them. He probably had never seen anything like this or heard anything like it before. Oh, this man, he turned and looked at Christ. And when he looked at Christ, it could be that the Spirit of God brought home to him what was written over the top of the cross. There was written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. This is the Savior. This is the Messiah," came home to him in his heart. He was given to see this by precious faith. And he turned unto Christ and he spake unto him these very words, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." A very short prayer. He acknowledged him as Lord. They were all condemning him and criticizing him for saying that he was the Lord, that he was the Savior. But he admits he is. He turns to him in prayer and says, "Lord," in the front of all these priests and rulers who had him crucified. Oh, he spake to him and said, "Remember me." That was all that he wanted. Oh, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, how wonderful was Jesus to this man, to the prayer that he offered. Oh, he instantly spoke unto him. Don't you marvel at that? This man paying with his life for the crime that he had committed, such a monster of sin. All his life he had sinned, dying for the sin that he committed. And then in the last minute, he turns to Christ. "Lord, remember me." What would you think Christ should have done? What would you have done if me and you were there? I think we would have said, "What, you? You don't deserve to be saved. Look the life you've led. Look what you've done." You don't hear Christ say anything like that to the man. Nothing. All his past life was not even quoted by Christ. "Lord, remember me." And Jesus said unto him, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." Oh, wonderful words to a man that was ready to sink into hell. For that's where he would have went to if he had died and not been saved. And he was then in a moment saved. How quick that this happened on this cross with this man. Here scripture was fulfilled. One on a bed, two on a bed, one is taken. Two in a city, one taken and the other left. How wonderful the salvation of God is to sinners, and especially to this sinner. For this man, in one moment, he was given to believe. In one moment, he was given to pray. Probably the only prayer that ever he prayed. One prayer that reached the ears of Christ, that reached the heart of Christ. And he received an answer, a wonderful answer. But that very day, he prayed, "Remember me when you come into thy kingdom." But Jesus remembered him immediately and told him even that very day, not when Jesus would raise from the dead again, but that very day he would be with Christ in paradise. Oh, what a wonderful answer this man received. How good the Lord Jesus was to this great sinner. We only have one example thereof in the scriptures. One time that you read something like this. And oh, how many poor creatures build upon something like this. Maybe there's some listening to me that's put off the day of conversion to the day maybe that you're going to die. You say, "Well, the thief, he was saved the last day. I'll be saved too." Oh, there's only one case like that, my dear hearers. Oh, put not off today what you can do. till tomorrow. All we know not the hour or the moment of our death. This same Jesus, he's in heaven above. He's in his kingdom at this present time. And all I wonder, is there any of you that have ever prayed, Lord, remember me? It's a short prayer, but if it comes from your heart and he has placed it there, there's an answer waiting for that prayer. There is. How many of you pray, Lord, remember me? Oh, we need to be remembered every day, my dear. That he should protect us, that he should keep us, to remember us in whatever difficulty we come into, in whatever trial and tribulation we have to pass through, that the Lord might remember us. And this thief, that's the only prayer he ever uttered, he went home to glory. What a blessing it was for this thief. I hope that there may be amongst my hearers those that are praying too. Oh, Lord, I've been hearing about you. You've been so gracious to this man who lived all his life in sin, and at the last moment he prayed to thee. Lord, I'm young yet. I'm not nowhere near the time that I should die, but I know not when I might die. Won't you remember me, Lord? Could I induce every one of you to pray this way? It's only a few words, and who knows what God might do to you. He answered this thief, and he might answer you too. You aren't any worse than this thief. He received grace. Oh, in this we have the wonderful grace of God shown. Dear respective of what we have done, how we have lived, what we have committed against him, be saved this thief. Think of that, my hearers. Maybe you think, oh, my sins are so many. I've done so many things that are wrong. I'm such a guilty creature, he'll never save me. How do you know he won't? Has he told you he won't? I never met a sinner yet that heard a word from Christ that he wouldn't save him. Jesus never turns any away that comes unto him. He's able to save, he's willing to save to the uttermost. And you've never sinned to the uttermost yet. Oh, hearken unto him through the mouth of your Bible class teacher, who would wish that every one of you were saved, who would wish that every one of you were praying inwardly, Lord, remember me. Who knows what he might do to that short prayer that you send up unto him. Oh, this precious Jesus, who can explain the love, the pity, the compassion that he has towards lost sinners. He showed it here at the cross. And now we find after this had taken place that Christ also experienced something else. We find that he likewise cried out again. And what did he cry out this time? Oh, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The scripture says that from noontime, the sixth hour, until the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, darkness came upon the whole earth. There was a supernatural eclipse of the sun, one that never was expected. One they hadn't dated. And it was only in that part of the earth, it was not all over the world, but it was in that part of the earth that this supernatural eclipse took place. There came darkness over the whole earth, the scripture says, until the ninth hour. This darkness was even commented upon by a man in Egypt. He was in this darkness. And he said, either the God of nature is suffering and dying, or he says, the machine that controls nature is ruined because this darkness came. In this darkness, Jesus likewise was left and forsaken by his Father. He was left over to the hands of the wicked one. As Job was given over into the hands of Satan, so Christ had a combat with Satan. For 3 hours, Jesus hung silently, never said a word. He was fighting with his soul against the devil and everything that came up upon him. All he suffered are the pains of hell. He went through terrible agony of soul in these 3 hours of darkness. And it got so bad that at the ninth hour, he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And if you look in the form of our Lord's Supper, we find the very same words mentioned, that we might never be forsaken of God. Jesus was forsaken so that we who deserve to be forsaken eternally, to be cast away from God, would never be forsaken. Oh, he will never, never forsake his people. He never forsook his son. His son was union with him. He was one of the Godhead. The Godhead did not suffer. It was his humanity that was suffering. This teaches us that Jesus had a body and a soul just as you and I have. And he suffered in his body on the tree, and he suffered in his soul in the darkness that he went through for 3 hours on the cross. And it was from God himself that this darkness came, because it silenced all those that were around the cross. There wasn't one that reviled him in those 3 hours. They were brought to silence. Why? They were wondering what this was. This had never happened before. They had never experienced anything like this. They were terrified. They were filled with horror. They wondered what was going to come of it. This is what the people round about the cross experienced when this darkness came down upon them. And when this darkness ended at the ninth hour, when Jesus cried this with a loud voice, then we find it was with these people just like with Pharaoh. When the plague was upon him, then he promised that he would let the children of Israel go. And so with these people, as soon as the darkness began to cease and began to be broken through with light, then they also came to themselves, and they began to revile again. And Jesus then experienced this so that his church, his bride, would never be forsaken, neither by him, nor by God, nor by the Holy Spirit. Oh, my dear hearers, that Jesus, after speaking these words, likewise spake other words. But if I should give you a little explanation of these words, I'd never get to the point where I'm supposed to get today. But the last word that Jesus spake was, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And when he said this, he gave up the ghost. He died. He said this with a terrific, loud voice to prove that he did not die of weakness, but that he gave himself over into the death that he was to enter into for his children, for his church. Death is the punishment of sin. Jesus had to suffer this punishment, and he willingly gave himself over into the hands of his Father and said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He commended his spirit, his soul, into the hands of God until the day that he would be risen again from the dead. But this proves that Jesus was a man of like passions as you and I, and that he died. His soul went to heaven, to paradise, till the day that he was raised again. It was joined again with the body, and he came forth upon the day of resurrection. Jesus in this teaches us if we have the grace of God in our souls, that we likewise, when we come to God, that we may commit our souls into the hands of Him who has promised us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, to have such a promise in this life, and to be assured at the hour of death that it most certainly will be fulfilled. For it was fulfilled with Jesus. His soul went to paradise. So did the soul of the thief on the cross. And so will every soul that has the life of Christ in it, when it comes to die, be given to enter into glory above. It will not go to a place called purgatory, but it will go to heaven to enjoy the smiles and the face of Him who hung upon the cross, who suffered, who bled and died for them. Oh, what a blessed eternity that will be, my hearers, for those that have been called by grace, for those who have been chosen as this thief was from all eternity. Oh, what a wonder of mercy is such a person in this life, and much more so when they come to die. They will go home to be in that place that Christ has prepared for them, for He has said, I have prepared a place for you, that where I am, ye also may be, that ye may behold my glory. Have you ever seen something of His glory in this life? Has He ever beamed down upon you in love and mercy and pity and in compassion? Oh, then you have melted. You have been deeply humbled and broken down at His feet. What a wonder it'll be when you will be given to go in to see Him as He is, to be with Him, and never, never, never no more to sin. This is one thing that I would wish that would happen this very day with me, that I would never sin anymore. But, oh, my dear hearers, we will sin every day to the day we die. Do you hate sin? Do you wish you were delivered from sin? Or to have a body of sin and to be troubled with this every day? Oh, what a miserable being is man when God discovers you in what he is. Oh, how you long to be delivered from this body of sin. Oh, you have to live till God takes you. But oh, it is better that he takes you quicker for your own sake. For you will have to be pestered with this all your life long to the day you die. Oh, may you be given to believe as Paul, for he believed too. He was troubled with sin. Who, oh, wretched man that I am, he says, who shall deliver me from this body of death? But I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him he expected a complete and a full deliverance, where he never, never would sin anymore. Oh, blessed are you, you have such a longing, such a desire. Oh, may God give every one of you such a desire. May he plant the prayer of the thief in your heart. Lord, remember me. And may you experience that he does remember you for his name's sake. That's all for today, my hearers.